This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Welcome back to the program. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, hosts of the show. And appreciate wherever you are listening in, hanging out with us. Boy, got a good show ahead, so let's see what we got here. I want to mention that if you want to reach out to the program, 1-866-509-4545, good way to do it. Just give us a call and say, hey, it's for Kelly and Company. And give us permission to use your message on air. Otherwise, we won't. 1-866-509-4545. Over on Twitter. She's at All Rams with a Z. I'm at AMI Kelly Mac. Appreciate any follow. If you want to just see what's going on AMI Audio, at AMI Audio on Twitter, so you can keep up with what's going on the live shows and so much more. Feedback at AMI.ca. You can do that simply and send a message in, and our gang over in the marketing and communications department can help you. Feedback at AMI.ca. As mentioned, she's at her home studio, Ramya Muthan in Toronto. Kelly McDonald here at the home studio, London, Ontario.
Well, we're going to talk to Danielle Jeankind right now, Kels, and she's got some interesting initiatives that she wants to tell us about. So let's bring her on.
The human-animal bond plays such an important role in people's lives, and as a veterinarian, it's my privilege to help keep those bonds strong and healthy. I'm Dr. Danielle Jeankind, and welcome to Ask a Veterinarian.
Last month on the show, we spent about a week talking about climate change and environmental issues, and it's actually awesome that we're still continuing these conversations. It's spun off into like many different segments since then. But Dr. Danielle mentioned that as an industry, veterinarians have a lot of work to do to help in addressing these issues, and that some individual veterinarians were doing some amazing things for our planet. So today, Danielle, you're going to tell us about a project founded by veterinarians that's helping African wildlife. What's the organization that you're going to tell us about today, and what are they doing for African wildlife?
Well, this organization is called Docs for Great Apes, and they are a great example of what can be accomplished. You know, when people are passionate about a cause, when they take the time to understand the problem, and then, you know, employ some creative solutions to overcome it. Our closest living animal relatives, the great apes, are in danger of extinction. I don't think that's probably a surprise to anybody, but Docs for Great Apes was founded after an Ontario veterinarian, a fellow by the name of Dr. Rick Quinn, went to Africa to give a guest lecture to an organization called Gorilla Doctors. And Dr. Quinn is a specialist in veterinary ophthalmology. When he got back from his trip, he conspired with another veterinary ophthalmologist named Dr. David Ramsey to start up this important charity.
So when we look at the great apes, what kind of challenges do they face?
Well, like a lot of wildlife, you know, they are affected by climate change and habitat loss through processes like deforestation, forest fires, things like that. So the Docs for Great Apes website lists a bunch of, you know, staggering statistics, like palm oil plantations apparently destroyed 15 million acres of forest in Borneo alone in 18 years. And, you know, that habitat loss is wiping out orangutans because they live in those forests.
Right.
You know, some great apes also face humans hunting them for meat and to catch them and sell them in the illegal wildlife trade. And of course, you know, some of these problems are related to large human populations and the socioeconomic concerns that happen in the regions where these animals live. Another example, you know, the Docs for Great Apes website lists war in the Congo between 1996 and 2003 as causing a huge reduction in bonobo populations. And this was due to militias and war-displaced people being forced into the forest to find food, firewood, and shelter. So, you know, then again, that leads to, you know, conflict with the indigenous wildlife. Also, since the great apes are so closely related to us, they're susceptible to human diseases and vice versa. Huge numbers of both humans and great apes died in Africa during the Ebola outbreaks in Africa before the pandemic. preventing apes and humans from passing diseases between them is critical to protecting ape populations. So, you know, as you can see, you know, the problem of protecting the great apes is really complicated because, you know, you have to kind of consider the whole picture for any interventions to be effective. And Docs for Great Apes says it focuses on what's called a One Health approach to problem solving.
Okay, yeah. So there was so much information for us to take in thus far, and I'm really quite honestly disturbed. So what is One Health?
Well, One Health is a concept that human health, animal health, and the health of the planet are inextricably linked to each other. So you can't have health in one area if you ignore the other two. And so, you know, I'll give you an example. So, I mean, you can't expect starving people to get behind a conservation effort to save an endangered species when they need to eat those species, sell them, or destroy their habitat to feed their families. So, you know, in this example, like a human health or social problem has to be solved in order to combat both an animal and an environmental health problem. So, you know, One Health really attempts to identify these interrelated problems so that solutions can address all three areas of need.
Okay. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm just so, when you think about so many of the things such as our closeness to them, people, you know, harvesting them for meat or for their own collections around the world or illegal things like that, it just, these things just absolutely throw me. Can you tell us about the programs that Docs for Great Apes have running right now?
Well, they started by launching a project with the Gorilla Doctors Organization that they called Virunga One in Rwanda in 2013. So a lot of people that live near the Virunga National Park where gorillas live have very little access to healthcare. And Drs. Quinn and Ramsey worked with human ophthalmologists to develop a program to train local health nurses in eye care. And the end result was improved health care for the locals and, you know, earning the respect and admiration of the locals for what they were trying to do for conservation. So if you want to conserve species, you know, you have to get on the good side of the population who lives next to them and who might be exploiting them, right? The next program that Docs for Great Apes put together was to partner with a number of other wildlife conservation groups. So the Mountain Gorilla Conservation Society, Gorilla Doctors, and the Jane Goodall Institute. And they put together a program called the ConservVet Education Program. So I guess part of the problem is that Africans veterinarians lack access to proper training in wildlife medicine. It's difficult to find and it's expensive to finance that kind of education. So Docs for Great Apes raises money to sponsor African veterinary students for this additional training who can then go on to work for conservation organizations and government programs. They also raise funds for things like computer purchases, lab upgrades, veterinary surgical equipment, and all these are used to treat great apes who need medical care and rehabilitation.
Okay. How can people support the organization, Danielle?
There are a number of ways people can help out. You know, of course, they do have a website, docsforgreatapes.org. They are a registered Canadian charity and a not-for-profit corporation. On their website, like every charity, they have a donate button that you can use to make a donation if you like. They also offer memberships in their organization if you want to make a monthly payment. Membership gets you a charitable tax receipt, some electronic updates on what they're doing, some window decals, and, you know, most importantly, the satisfaction of knowing you're supporting a great cause. The higher levels of donations, you know, they have some other nice things that they send you, and that's all on their website. But, you know, another way of supporting the organization is to buy Dr. Quinn's book. So he wrote a book called Just Like Us, which features amazing photographs of his journeys right into the habitats of wild great apes in 7 African countries plus Indonesia. And the book talks about the threats the great apes face and the complicated task of trying to save them. And all proceeds from the sale of the book go towards funding the ConservVet Education Program. So, you know, with the holiday season just around the corner and everybody doing some shopping, you know, I think that a book like this would make an amazing gift. And I actually bought 2 copies for people that I can't say in case they're listening. today, but they're getting them for Christmas. But it's kind of like a two-for-one special. You know, you get the book to keep, which sounds amazing to read and look at in and of itself. And, you know, you get to know that, you know, all the profit from it goes to help conservation efforts. So it's pretty neat.
It's got to be tough when you're trying to, you know, do this kind of preservation, do this kind of supporting, and there's a lot of industry, a lot of, well, come on, you know, that where people are, but we, you're in the way of progress. We've got to move in. We've got to harvest oil. We've got to be in these areas, and forgetting or not even paying attention. There's so much education of people as to how sensitive that ecosystem is and how we can affect it so much, Danielle, that's got to be more than half the battle here.
Well, and you know, we talked about that on, you know, the Environmental Week and on previous segments and stuff too, that, you know, being careful what you buy. Like, you know, if we weren't purchasing things that, you know, like palm oil, right, you know, then there would be no market for it and they wouldn't have to go into these areas and do these things, right? So, you know, a lot of it is, you know, educating yourself on, you know, the things that you can do to make a difference, you know, as well as, you know, being advocating for, you know, these organizations that are really helping and trying to find real world solutions that support the communities next to these animals and support the animals themselves.
Yeah. So what are some of the other organizations that are out there supporting the conservation efforts for great apes?
There are a few that I know of, and all of them are registered charities. So one of my favorites is Orangutan Foundation International. They have a Canadian chapter. Our Canadian chapter is based in Vancouver, and they support the work of the Orangutan Care Center and Quarantine Facility in Indonesia. And that's a facility that gives medical care and rehabilitates wild orangutans for release into protected areas of forest in Indonesia. There's also the Jane Goodall Institute, which has a Canadian chapter as well, and they raise money for chimpanzee conservation. They raise money for research. And again, they, you know, seem to take a bit of a One Health approach from what I can tell. Like, they're into providing human community betterment and empowerment, restoring habitat, you know, in the areas where chimpanzees live, among other things. And the last one I know about is called the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund, and that's an international one dedicated to gorilla conservation, protection, and scientific research in Africa. And it was started based on the work of Diane Fossey, who studied and protected gorillas in Africa in the 60s and 70s, right up until her death in 1985. I think there was a movie made of that called Gorillas in the Mist, and a book as well. So it's, you know, kind of a well-known example. But that conservation efforts, those are still running.
You know, it's really what I'm thinking about is that some of these initiatives, and like as wonderful and great as they are, and you coming to talk about them, it feels so far away for us, right? Like, you know, from where we're sitting in our places and not even around apes, not around the communities, it is so difficult to think, wow, you know, how do we either support or stop supporting the bad side of all of this. But it's really interesting, especially what you said about One Health and how everything plays a role within everything else. So it's really, really incredible. Thank you so much, Danielle. And next week, we're going to kind of continue this theme of highlighting initiatives. We'll talk about OVC and their pet trust charity. So looking forward to that convo also.
Me too. Everybody have a good week.
Thank you. Dr. Danielle Jeankind joining us. She's our veterinarian who joins us every Tuesday to chat. And Kels, I was saying earlier that our Environment Week has really kind of pushed further along, right? And we've gone since that week and talked about lots of different things, initiatives and projects and just like our individual outlooks on environment change and helping out the environment. And it's a little bit of everything everywhere.
I think it's understanding too. So many things that we discussed, people brought to our attention, you stop. And now when you see certain things or hear it, you, she mentioned Gorillas in the Mist there. And I remember the hype about the movie. Mm-hmm. I remember as people watched and afterward and just hearing, because people were more aware of something as opposed to just thinking, oh, gorillas are this and that, or first of all, let's get them straight. Which one's an orangutan? Which one's, you know, like, so you'd understand. and understood what needs they had and the critical issues they were facing. So absolutely excellent, fantastic to listen to Danielle talk and inform us. We'll take a break, and coming up next, Francis Wong is going to share wellness gift ideas to pamper your loved ones for this holiday season. We'll talk to her in about 2 minutes right here on Kelly & Company. You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.